All right. Hey, welcome.
You can everybody say hello. Hello. Okay. Yeah, we do have a couple of people in the room right now, which is great. We're excited to be live, not just live on Facebook, but we actually have an audience here. And so thank you for tuning in. If you're new to New Day, there's going to be a message that comes up that says new to New Day. And just hit like on that so that we know that you were here. That would be a huge encouragement to me. I don't have any way of knowing who has tuned in unless you say, hi, I'm here, or if you hit like on the new to New Day button. Also, we have an opportunity to give online. So if giving a financial offering is one of the ways you offer worship to God, or if you'd like to support the mission at New Day, you can give online anytime on our website at newdaywi.com. We have some other opportunities to give right in this room, this building. This is New Day's new office and ministry center. I'm teaching from behind the bar because this is the least ugly spot right now to teach from. There's a lot of construction going on, and even if we just move the camera a little bit one way or the other, you'd see wires in the wall, or you'd see some spaces that need to be cleaned up, or some orange cones or something. So we're teaching from here. You have an opportunity to come here for an event that's coming up, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. We've offered up this space so that our local blood center can do a blood drive. A lot of places right now are closed. They're not letting the blood center come in and do blood drives, but at the same time, now people can get elective surgeries, and there are needs for blood donations. So they've asked us if we can open up this space because it worked so well on Good Friday. So we need donors to come. So if you would like to donate, there will be a link that comes up in the chat where you can just say, yeah, I would like to donate. Contact me, count me in, set me up for a slot during the donation schedule. And if you're somebody who wants to do something good, but there's no way you're going to come out in public and take a risk. I mean, we're going to do things here as safely as we can, but nothing is perfectly safe. And if you're saying, well, I don't want to go to a blood drive, or maybe you're disqualified from donating blood for some reason, we have a family that we served in Backyard Missions who shortly after we served them had a house fire, and they lost everything within their home. And there's a GoFundMe page set up, and we'd like to be a blessing to them. So if donating blood is not something that you're able to do, if you donated any amount to help this family out and for us to be a continued answer to their prayers, then you can donate to that family. And I know that they would really appreciate it. And it would be something that you can do to kind of move outside of yourself and to be a light in the community. So those are some opportunities coming up. Plug into those. Right now, let's pray together before we dive into God's words about rest. God, as we look into the words of Jesus, I pray that it would be more than an exercise in knowledge and understanding. I pray, God, that you would move our hearts and minds towards obedience, that in obedience to Christ, we can find a foundation during the storms of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, some of you know from past weeks or from reading our online newsletter that I have some renovations going on at my house. And like Carrie's here today, and Kelly, your fiance, has been a huge help to us in that we've tried to allow other people to come in and help. My parents have been there for a lot of the time. My son Isaiah helped once. Anyway, we've been working so hard, and one of the challenges is that we're doing flooring in like our whole first level. So we've had to move all of the furniture from our living room and our dining area, all of the chairs move into other rooms. So because they moved into the other rooms, those other rooms are just stacked with stuff and there's no way to sit in there. But then all the chairs are gone in the other area. And it's like there's no place when I come home or when I want to read my Bible in the morning or when I want to have breakfast, there's no place to just sit down. Do you ever feel like that? Like there's so many things going on right now in the world that you feel like there isn't a place to just sit, to just take a moment and find some rest. God has promises that if you're feeling like that, you need to hear today, that we need to hear. We need to be a people who understand and who practice rest. Jesus knew what it was like to feel unsettled. If you think about it, he was born in a rented barn. He was buried in a borrowed grave. And between the time he was born and the time he was buried, here's what he said about his opportunity to find rest, to find a place to sit. There was a scribe who came to him. Now, a scribe would be someone who would hang out with Pharisees, someone who typically would be against what Jesus was teaching because it was a threat to their power and their authority. And yet this scribe approaches him and asks him, "Rabbi, teacher, can I follow you? I would follow you anywhere." So he's honoring Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." That's his answer to this scribe saying, "I would follow you anywhere." Essentially, he's giving him a warning. He's letting him know this is not going to be comfortable. This is like a camping trip. You're not going to be living in luxury if you follow me. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Jesus knew what it was like to feel unsettled. And he warns this guy, you're going to experience some of that. Christians today are experiencing that. There was a study that was done last month of churchgoers, people who before the month of March were regular attenders at church. And what the study found out was that 1/3 of regular church attenders, people who are connected to the body of Christ, 1/3 of them are not connecting in any way. Not personally, not online. They have just around the people you're around all the time at home. You're sticking with it because you see that there is a mission here. You see that it's important to consistently connect to Christ. So I appreciate you sticking around and being a part of that mission. So Jesus warns us that you may not have a place to rest your head. On the other hand, he also promises rest. Matthew chapter 11, we just skip forward a few more chapters. Starting in verse 28, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Is this the Savior America needs? Right? That's what the political ad would be in this situation. Hey, if you're just coming in, that's fine. Just duck so that the camera doesn't catch you on your way in. Just come on. Come on in. Yeah, just duck a little bit. There you go. All right. I just love having people in the room. The joys of being live. It's wonderful. I'm so glad you guys are here. So if the political ad people got a hold of the words of Jesus, this is what they would be pointing out. Folks, the ads drive me crazy because, I mean, we know that we're taking things out of context, we're misunderstanding things, and we don't want to do that with the words of Jesus. So let's look at this. We saw in Matthew 8:20 that he warns the scribe, you're going to need resolve, you're going to need grit if you're going to follow me. And then Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, he says, "Come to me,
all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So at this point, he's talking to the multitudes. He's talking to groups of people who are following him, and they're looking for something. These are people who are seeking a peace following the Jewish ceremonial laws and customs. And if you were to help somebody who was beaten and bloodied, then you'd have to be separated from the community because you've been in contact with blood, and we want to make sure everybody's safe. So you've got to take a certain number of days, and you've got to go through prescribed sacrifices, and you've got to do all. So every time you turn around, even if you do something good, then you've got to do more. So there's just piled on. I felt like this years ago when Michelle and I were looking at how can we do something that's better for the environment with our cars. And I looked at, like, you know, maybe getting a little scooter so I was using less gas. But what we ended up doing was taking our gasoline-powered car and we converted it so that it could run on E85, ethanol, 85% ethanol. And my thinking was that ethanol, it comes from corn, which is grown by American farmers, will financially support American farmers. It's cleaner burning, so we're doing something better for the environment. Good things, right? And then we find out, well, but you've got to burn more of it because it's not as efficient as gasoline. So you've got to burn more of it. That farmers are having to change their fields over to corn in order to be more profitable, and there are environmental implications of that. And when corn started to be demanded more because of the demand for ethanol, then it wasn't available for food, so food prices went up and people were starving. I'm trying to do something good and I'm starving people. It's exhausting when you try to do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right kind of person, and you find out there just isn't any way. Jesus is talking to the multitudes who are running into this, who are just feeling worn out. We're trying to do the right things to be okay within ourselves and to be okay with God. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke would be a way that a rabbi, a teacher, would describe their system of teaching. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. What a relief this would be, instead of coming under teachers who were demanding and who were lording their authority over you. He's saying, no, I'm not like that. I'm humble. I'm gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let's talk about this for a moment. A yoke would be that large wooden piece that goes over the shoulders of an ox in order to connect it to whatever tool you wanted that ox to pull. Yokes weren't mass produced. They were made by carpenters. And you would actually, at this time in history, you'd bring your ox to the carpenter, and the carpenter would measure out its curves and would make the yoke fit perfectly. Now, Jesus is the son of a carpenter, so maybe this is something he's very familiar with. The idea being, the ox will be able to work harder and longer because it's not fighting against the yoke. The yoke is perfectly fitted. So the hearers of this, when he said, my yoke is easy, that word that we translate as easy, they would have understood it as perfectly fitted. My yoke is perfectly fitted to you. What I am going to give you to do, the work that I have for you, is perfectly fitted for you. And the burden I give you is light. There's this old story. I don't even know how far back it goes, but it was made into a song. I think it was in the 70s. Anybody in the room who can help me out with this? There's the way the story goes, a man was observing two young boys. One young boy was walking and he was carrying his brother because his brother was unable to walk. And the man said, boy, that is quite a burden you have to carry. And the boy said, That's not a burden. That's my brother. So the song from the 70s, anybody help me out? He's not heavy. He's my brother. That's what that song comes from, is that story. And the message of the story is what may look like a burden, because yes, there is something that I've got to carry, but I wouldn't call this a burden. This is my brother. This is someone who I love. So the burden that Jesus gives us is to love God and to love our neighbor. And he says that is the greatest command, and all the law and all the prophets, all those things that people have been piling on you and saying, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to go through this ceremony, you have to do this thing. And we still do that. You have to go to church, you have to be in a small group, you have to tithe, you have to do, you know, all the things you have to do. Jesus says all of it is summarized in this: love God, love your neighbor. Which of those is a burden to you? Neither should be, like the story of the brother. To love God should be something that is natural for us, or at least something that we know is best for us. And then to love our neighbor, to see the people around us as creations who God made in his image. If we love God, then to love his image bearers is a natural outgrowth of that. So Jesus essentially says, here's my burden. What I'm giving you isn't even a burden. It's to love God and love your neighbor. Follow me. The work I give is perfectly fitted to you, and it's not even going to be a burden when you do it right, when you do it well. David gives us another picture. Jesus gave us the picture of the ox with the perfectly fitted yoke. I love this picture that David gives us in Psalm 131. If you're feeling overly burdened, this is a psalm for you to hear, to listen to open your Bible, to meditate on Psalm 131. He says, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. Another way to say that is my eyes are not lifted too high. I'm not feeling so great about who I am. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not lifted too high. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Now we've got a family there in the back. Hey guys. It would be awkward if instead of when you go home to have lunch, if instead of, do you guys know, what are you having for lunch today? No plan.
Whatever in the refrigerator.
Whatever's in the refrigerator. Is it milk that you have pumped from your body? Because that would be awkward.
Definitely not.
That would be awkward if your family went home and was like, you know, we really are sticking to the milk plan, the mother's milk plan. No, because you're laughing because it's silly. Because there's a point in maturity where a child, instead of relying on mother's milk, a child eats solid food and isn't crying out for that milk anymore. And that's the picture that David is putting out here. I've calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. Three verses. That's the whole psalm. That's the whole thing. I love and I appreciate it. David saying, I'm not too proud, God. I'm not spending a lot of time trying to figure out all the problems in the world and all the answers to all the problems. No, I am calming and quieting myself, and I'm putting my trust in you. That is a message for us today, because a lot of us are trying to gather information and are trying to figure everything out, are trying to figure out how can I be involved in solving the problems of the world, and we're putting it on ourselves. And what David says is, I'm not trying to figure it all out. I'm putting my trust in God. Sometimes we're stressed out. We feel unsettled. We feel like we don't have a place to sit because there's too much going on, too much for us to keep track of, too much for us to understand. We feel like we don't have any control over it. Right. We don't. You can't. You won't. That's okay. Your job is not to be God. Your job is to seek God and to find the work that He has perfectly planned for you, perfectly fitted to how He created you. When you feel overwhelmed, find your resolve, your rest, your grit, your strength to move forward. Find it in Him. This isn't an easy time to be a pastor, if I'm to be honest with you. It's difficult. It's difficult when things are so unsettled, when we've been online now for 5 months, and I can't keep track of who's out there. And I know anything that I say, I've got to say with extreme care because it could offend somebody. I hope you guys weren't super offended by the whole milk analogy. I didn't really think through that one. But we're good. We're still good. I didn't drive anybody out with that one. But there are things that I could say that will drive people away. It's a difficult time. And I could say this isn't fun anymore. I'm going to find a job that's way simpler than trying to navigate these waters. But when did Jesus ever say my life or your life was going to be easy? He didn't. He said, you can trust me in the storms of life. When it is difficult, I will be there to give you strength. He said our work would be fitted to us. It is still work. So rather than continuing to cry or pout or grumble about things that are difficult, a mature person finds calm and quiet as they trust the Lord. And that is our challenge from God's word today, to find that calm and quiet that comes from trusting Him rather than pouting or whining or being overly stressed or overly anxious, to quiet ourselves in His presence, to trust Him now and forever. What's causing you to feel overwhelmed or overburdened right now? You don't have to answer that out loud. This isn't one of the participation parts. But you can probably think of something that's causing you to feel overwhelmed or overburdened. Talk to your Heavenly Father about it. Thank Him for all He's done and rest in Him. And let's look at these promises from Jesus again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, now think about this. Really let this sink in. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I hope to see you guys at some point, maybe here for the for the blood drive. But if you're staying home and staying safe, I'm so glad that you're tuning in live. Drop us a note, send us a message via Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. If there's a way that we can pray for you, please let me know how we can pray for you right now, how we can help ease that burden as we pray for each other and find God's perfect peace. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you, maybe a few people in person, and seeing you virtually online as we continue together and as we find rest in Him. Go in peace.